Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
In one of the visions or dreams that I had many years ago, God turned me from a man into a tree. And I was a tree and I was standing out in a, just on a normal street. It was, to me it just looked like a normal street. There was cars driving by and I was turned into this tree and I stood there for several hundreds of years. And the cars changed and they changed the different types of vehicles and I was still a tree. And then the Spirit of God came past and he turned me back into a man. And he said, the house that this tree stood across from is the ancestors after you. Go in and see them. And I walked in and none of them were believers. None of them knew who God was. I walked in and I said, do you still follow the Lord God Jehovah? The only one and only God. And they said, who is he? And it was a real... It was one of those disheartening things. Well, you know, bring your children up to follow after the things of God, and it doesn't necessarily mean they will follow after you. You see it in the Old Testament over and over and over again. You'll get a good king, you'll get a bad king. What was that? The good king followed God, the bad king tended not to. Our children don't necessarily follow after in our footsteps, but we pray for them that they will, amen? So really that set the wheels in motion for me to pray for the next generation, to keep praying for the next generation, to keep praying for the generation that comes after them, the generation that comes after them, the generation that comes after them. You know, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children's children. A wise man does. And so we input something into through us into our children. We become trees that bear good fruit. If you're looking for a title for my message today, it's A Good Tree 2. A Good Tree. I absolutely loved Tom's message. Is Tom here today? Callahan, is he here? Are you working today? He's a fireman, so he does work on weekends. But man, his message. Did everyone enjoy that last week? It was an amazing message. Do you know? It was just really good. I loved it. Tom, if you're watching, thumbs up, mate. It was good. It was good. He talked about the mind. I think it was an inspired, God-given message completely. When he said he had never found anger to have been helpful to him, I went, yeah, I found that. I found that every time that I've blown up and I've gone off my tree, which has been numerous times. No. Oh, much. Not much. Diane will say, stop yelling at me. I say, I'm not yelling at you. Much. It's the Irish in me. I'll blame the Irish in me. No, it's just bad character. It's not good. I've never found it to be helpful. I've never found that my wife loves me a little bit more. The more angrier I get, the more loving she becomes. Not. It just doesn't work like that. Because it's about love. God so loved. God demonstrates good relationship practice right from the beginning. But God so loved. Loved. I loved how Tom said that God was not angry. You know, most of Christendom is walking around thinking they've got this big, angry, grey haired, big grey beard, ogre God. He's not like that. I love the story where Jesus says about the talents. He said, you know the story. One was given 10, one was given 5, one was given 1. And you know, the guy that buried the one talent in the ground, remember the story? And his answer was really telling, don't you think? When the master came back, he said, I knew you were a hard man and that you reaped where you did not sow. So I buried my talent and here is your talent back. And the master was then angry. I would be angry too if somebody just character assassinated me, told me that I was an angry, horrible person because I expected people to be responsible. You know? And so then he was angry. And we know what he did then. He took the one from the guy and he gave it to the guy with 10. Is God angry? No, God is not angry. God is not upset. God is not fazed. God is not worried. God is not insecure, like somebody's going to come along and kick him off his throne. It ain't going to happen. He's not angry. He's not upset. He sent his son to pay an atonement for you and I. He's never angry with you. I love what Tom said. He may be disappointed in us at times. But that's why I love repentance. I can say, I'm sorry. I will try better. Amen. So I loved his message. I thought it was brilliant. So I'm going to sort of continue along in a similar thought. You know, but God's not angry. God is happy. God is in a good mood. God's in a good mood. He got a big smile on his face. He's sitting on his throne. He was just sitting up there on the throne tapping his foot while we were singing. Man, they're good. I love that sound, he says. I love the sound of my children worshipping. It's good for them. It's good to them to say those words that encourage them and uplift them. Yeah, God's in a good mood. Amen. We're living in an age where Tom talked about having positive thinking. But every now and again, apart from just positive thinking, we need to think about what do I believe and why do I believe it? Where have I been taught and what was I taught? And where did that teaching come from? I'll say to you over and over again, don't believe me, go back to your Bible. You're not here to follow after Keith. You're here to follow God. It's my responsibility to search out the word for me, and I will give what I can of what I understand in the now to you. Once upon a time, Diane and I were in another church organization that believed that unless you spoke in tongues, you were not saved. Do I still believe that? No. But at the time, I was completely convinced that that was a truth, an infallible truth at that. I found out that that truth was a bit fallible. It wasn't quite accurate. So do I hold on to that which I was taught just because I was taught it 10, 20 years ago? No. No, I question those things and I say, why was I taught that? I was taught that because that was the culture of that particular church. That particular denomination had that as their mandate. So I search out the word and I find out, do all speak in tongues? Paul asks the question. Of course, clearly we don't. Many do. I do. Many do. And I would not forbid speaking in tongues. I think it's a good thing. I probably speak more in tongues than all of you. And Paul said that too. But we do need to challenge ourselves from time to time about what we believe and why we believe it. We're living in an age of social media and fake news, where hearsay is purported as fact, where every opinion of anyone is given the same weight as fact. Until you go and research it and find out that that so-called saying, that so-called quote is a crock. It's not even nothing like being true. Now, I'm not saying that there's no more revelation of the Word of God. Clearly there is, and there will be more to come. The Bible's not finished yet. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 20,249. It continues today. We're living in the book of Acts. We are the book of Acts. We are the church. It continues, and it will continue until Jesus comes. But the body of Christ is not immune. We've taken many beliefs and attitudes that have come into mainstream thinking and teaching, particularly in the last 100 years. Thoughts and beliefs that Christians of previous eras and generations did not believe to be true or factual. Somebody said something to me the other day concerning the end times, and they said to me, what's the line they used? They said it was... What was the line it was? It was a fundamental truth. And I said, so are you post, pre or mid? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're post-tribulation, mid-tribulation or pre-tribulation? Rapture, he was talking about. Fundamental truth. See, I have an issue with that. I have a big issue with that. It's the attitude that the devil's winning. It's a lie. It's propaganda from the enemy. He is not winning. Go and study some facts and see if it's true. It's not. Oh, there's more murders today than ever before in ever human history. Rubbish. Garbage. There was more murders in 1900 in Australia than there have been in the last 20 years. In Australia. Go and look it up. There's 56,000 murders in 1900 or something. And last year there was like 10,000 or something, 15,000 or something. Like, go and look it up. Are things getting worse? No, they're not. It's a lie. Don't get caught by the trap of the enemy to trick you into thinking that's not true. Here's another fact. From 1990 to 2013, we halved the infant mortality rate globally. Not just in Australia, not just in Western nations, globally. Go and look it up. It's a fact. There is less poverty today than there was 20 years ago. There is less people starving globally than there were 20 years ago. Go and look it up. It's a fact. But there are facts that are brought out that are just not true. And we believe them because the media tells us that everything is bad and the world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's just not true. Why? Because the kingdom of God is advancing. Church, the kingdom of God is advancing. Three of us are happy about it. The kingdom of God is advancing. Amen. Get it into you, church. Get it into you. We're on the winning side. I read the end of the book. We win. It's inevitable. Woo! God is good. God has won. He's defeated the enemy. The enemy's been defeated. We sang it. The enemy's been defeated. The enemy's been defeated. He goes around like a roaring lion. Rawr. Seeking who he may devour. I'm a bit of a roaring lion myself. You know, come roaring at me in the middle of the night, I'll go roaring back. Ah! Get out of my head, devil. Get away. Stand up in the authority that you've been given. Not the pup that you've been sold that you haven't got authority. You walk in it. It's been given to you, ordained by God. Our greatest need in our modern world is discernment and an understanding of what God, what is God and what is not God. And unless we're spiritually discerning, we can misinterpret what God is doing as the devil and what the devil is doing as God. I don't want to offend anybody, but I will. If you're a religious person, I'm going to rattle your cage. I'm going to rattle the teeth in your head. Because I hate religiosity with a passion. Get rid of your religion. All we need is Jesus. He wasn't religious. In fact, if you read about the religious people that came to Jesus, he ripped them a new one. He ripped into them. He just ripped into them. He gave them what's for. Why? Because they should have known better. They had the word of God. They knew who our Father God and what he was like. And they were doing the exact opposite. They were being mean. They were treating the people poorly. They were doing things to the people. They were ripping them off, taking the money off them. It was all about the money. Show me the money. That's not God. Should we give? Yeah, sure we should give. But you shouldn't be compelled to give. That's wrong. It's not right. You don't have to call me pastor. I don't think that I lose any leadership points for doing that. I had somebody this week say to me, I said to me, I don't ask the church to call me pastor. Oh, you give away your leadership for that, do you? What a load of rubbish. Still the leader of the church, but I'm not under you and I'm not over you. I'm walking with you. Amen? We walk together. We walk in Christ together. My job is to equip you. And you, 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 and you. For the work of the ministry. My job is not to do the ministry. That's your responsibility. My job is to equip you to do that. And I'll do everything in my power to equip you for the work. And some people say, well, the church has no vision. That was a stupid comment. You are the vision. What's my vision? You are. What do I want to see? You do well. I want to see you prosper. I want to see your families prosper. I want to see your children prosper. I want to see your workplace prosper. I want to see your bank account prosper. I want to see everything about you prosper. There you go. That's my vision. But the vision for the outworking of our church and what we do in our community doesn't come from the pulpit. It comes from you guys. You guys. You guys have the vision. You carry the vision for what you want to do in our community. Like Jen doing the Beauty for Ashes. Great ministry. There are other burning things in your spirit. And yeah, sure, those things need to be in line with what our church is doing, and that's fine. But you are the vision. You carry it. You are responsible for caring for one another. And Jesus showed us the picture. He washed the feet of the disciples and then he said, now you go and do likewise. So it'll be a bit like me standing up here and then washing all of your feet and then saying to you all, now you go and do likewise. You wash one another's feet. When you hear that one of your brothers and sisters aren't doing well, give them a call. Go and visit them. Go and have a coffee with them. Don't say, oh, that's the paid holy man's job. It's not. It's your job. You're responsible. Well, I don't have the authority to speak to people. Do you believe in Jesus? Then you do. Go and speak to them. Go and encourage them. Go and uplift them. Love one another. See, these are all things that have become norms in our modern church. So everyone expects the pastor to do all the work. It's backwards. It's upside down. It's not the way it's meant to be. I am here to be the servant of all. That's my job. I serve you. And I hope that in turn you will serve each other. You will love one another. You'll care for one another. You'll find out whether one another is doing well each day. That you'll get, you know, you'll ring people up. How are you going? I haven't seen you at church for 2 or 3 weeks. How are you going? Everything all right? Oh, yeah, that pastor looked at me the wrong way. Or Keith didn't speak to me on Sunday. You'll notice that most of the time I'm heading to the new people. Look after one another. Care for one another. Don't get sold the pup. It's a religious thinking and we don't want it. You are the priesthood. You are priests. Did you know that? You are kings and priests, each one of you. So it's your job to do that work. And there's lots of things that we've believed in the past that were not necessarily from God. We hear from time to time things that sound very convincing, clear and godly, but they are not. Often it's pride and arrogance parading as a word from God. Oh, I have a word from God. And the word says, I am angry. No, well then I know it's not God because he ain't angry. God's rebuking the church. No, he's not. What a load of rubbish. I know it's not God because he's not like that. See, I know his character. So I know when he's speaking what he's going to say because he's not angry. You might be angry, but God ain't. There's lots of things that we believe to be true. Could I have the slide up there, Cheryl? There you go. Smoke a fresh cigarette. Make your throat real good. And if you could see at the bottom, we can't see it there, but at the bottom they had a little thing which was clearly what became to be health warnings. And it said, smoking is healthy, it's fun, and it's delicious. In 2013, we're actually in 2018. In 2018, does anybody believe that? No. And why did that happen? Do you know what happened? The hospitals started getting filled up with people who were sick. And then they put 2 and 2 together. It was because they were smoking. But the smoking companies who were making trillions of dollars kept telling the people, no, it's good for you. Go and buy a couple more packets. We'll even make it cheaper. And I can remember in the 80s and the 90s, you would talk to people who smoked and they would tell you how that it was all a big conspiracy against smokers, you know, to stop them smoking out in public. Diane and I, number of years, when we got married 25 years ago, we're on an aeroplane, right? And we're coming back on this aeroplane and they put us in the smoking section. Well, I was really annoyed. I said, I don't want to be smoking your secondhand smoke. Well, the stewardess came along. She goes, shh, shh, no, you'll move me. I'm not sitting and smoking. I'm not supposed to be in a smoking section. Well, that's your ticket. No, my ticket doesn't say smoking on it. The fact that you've cordoned this off to be a smoking thing doesn't mean that I have to smoke it. So I got pretty upset, as you can imagine. All the smokers in that cabin went, oh, yeah, oh, one of those do-gooders, oh, you know, it's not hurting you. We're the ones smoking. No, I'm smoking your secondhand smoke, you git. And how many years did it take him to twig that passive smoking was as bad as smoking? Duh! Come on! I mean, how thick do you got to be? It's like it's like two planks end to end. Like, come on! And yet there's stuff that we believe to be true, and it's garbage. It's rubbish. We need to get rid of the stuff that's in our head. And some of the stuff was taught to us by well-meaning people. Well-meaning, they believed it to the core. Jesus is coming back in 1988. He might be a little late. Then he was coming back in 2000. Oh, for sure, the turn of the millennium. Jesus will come. Look, in 1977, I was a little tacker. I was in church and a friend of mine used to take me along the church and they would be right into this end times thing. Oh, Jesus is just around the corner. He's just about to arrive. Do you know what that made us all look like? Stupid. It just made the church look stupid. Because the Bible clearly states, no man shall know the day nor the hour. So the moment you pick a time and a date, you're wrong. Stuff that we believe and we take on as fact dredge deep down into your belief systems. Stuff that you're taught from your mum and your dad. It's not all good. Because they were taught from their mum and their dad. I had a chat to my grandma one time. I lived with my grandma for a few months and I was having a chat with her and I said to her, so what do you think of the Beatles? And she says to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're good then? That's all they say is yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one line out of one song. Nan, you know? One line out of one song. Yeah, that's all I ever hear. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we hear what we want to hear. We hear what our culture tells us to hear. And because that was her culture was old-time country music, not that country and western. Only people my age understand that all. You're all young. But there was country music and then there was Western country, you know, it was sort of on the border of that rock stuff, you know. And then for years it was rock and roll is the enemy. Oh, that evil rock and roll. Can't do a beat in 4/4. If it's not in 6/8, it's no good. It's just crazy stuff, church. And it makes us look stupid, makes us look ridiculous. Wisdom is known of her children. And when we say and do and have ridiculous thinking, it reflects on all of us. And I love a good conspiracy theory. Me and my mate Phil, we get together and we talk all the conspiracy theories. I love it. I love a good conspiracy. Anyone else love a good conspiracy theory? We didn't really go to the moon, you know, all that stuff. I love it. I love it. But do I think that all of those things are necessarily true? Probably not. But it's fun. But I know that. See, the problem is when you think that conspiracy is real. And it may be, but then again, the chances are probably not. So if we look at what we believe and why we believe it, so why do we believe in the rapture? Why do we believe that the pastor, the minister, the leader does all of the ministry? Here's a good one. Why do we think that people who are very controlling and manipulative seem to be leaders? And that's a good thing. I see some very controlling, manipulative people, narcissistic people, who end up in leadership roles in various places. And people see that as leadership. I don't. I'll never control you. I won't coerce you. I won't make you do anything. Does God? When was the last time he showed up on your doorstep and said, you must do this? He never does, because that's not the way he works. He will always give you free choice. Freely you have been given. Freely give. So we've got to rethink what does leadership look like in the modern church? What does it look like? I love what Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians, if you do have your Bibles, in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 to 21. I'm just going to read it through quickly. I think I might just have a little bit of time. I hope that you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I do not think that I am least inferior to those super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And he also made tents. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I've kept myself from being a burden to anybody in the regions of Achaia. Yeah, that word. We'll stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut to the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Is it not surprising then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness? Their end will be what their actions deserve. Let no one take me a fool. But if you do, then tolerate me as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the ways that the world does, I too will boast. I love Paul's heart, don't you? I read that and I can relate as a church leader. I relate to that passage deeply. I could have written those words and they would be as true for me as they are for Paul. Leads me to this question. How can we tell the difference between what God is doing and what the enemy is doing? Matthew 7:15 to 19. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious or ravenous wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? We've all known people like that. They're prickly. They're thorny. Not going to get much fruit from that. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You've heard me say this before and you'll hear me say it again. Don't judge the manifestation. Judge the fruit. Judge the fruit. Why don't you imagine with me just for a moment in your mind's eye. You're back in Jesus' day. You're standing in a crowd. You turn to your mate and you say, "G'day, mate. What's going on here?" "Oh, there's this guy named Jesus. He's some new teacher in town. And he's over there praying for some guy. And the guy just fell down." "What do you mean he fell down?" "Well, he just fell down." And the next thing they hear the guy screaming. "Oh, what's he done to him? He's fallen down and he's screaming." And the demon left him, the Bible tells us. But what did the crowd see? They saw a guy being laid hands on, falling to the ground, start convulsing. One of them was foaming at the mouth. What did the crowd see? We can be in that crowd sometimes, looking at the manifestation saying, "Well, that can't be God. They've just fallen on the ground. That can't be God. They're laughing. That can't be God. They're crying." Whatever it may be. Don't judge the manifestation. Judge the fruit. It's so important. Because if we start to judge the manifestation, sometimes we're judging God. And sometimes you need to know that there's a manifestation going on that is not God. And a fellow one time, I was praying for him, he fell on the ground and this black ooze came out of him. You know what that black ooze was, don't you? I don't need to tell you. The demon came out of him. Black ooze. Like oil. It was like black oil. He was laying on the ground and I said to the people who was with me, "Don't worry, we'll clean that up at the end." When we came back, it was gone. We need to be discerning people. to discern what is right, what is wrong, what is God and what is not. And we need to be smart enough to know that God doesn't do things our way. We won't always understand what God's doing. And sometimes we just hold our peace. We hold our peace so that we can wait and see what the fruit may be. If it's bad fruit, we'll know. If it's good fruit, we'll know. But as for me, I want to be a tree that bears good fruit. I know you do too. You want to bear good fruit. This church wants to be a church that bears good fruit. And God willing, we will do just that. Amen? This church is kingdom-minded, is a kingdom-minded church. My desire is that we, that which I pray often is that we as a church would bear good fruit. That the people all over the coast would hear of your good deeds and the community focus that we are endeavouring to build. My heartfelt desire is for each of you that you would be found in Christ Jesus at his appearing. As a tree full of ripe, edible fruit that all would see. Be careful what you allow in your mind. The battle is not for goods and chattels or for possessions. It is over the hearts and minds of men and women. And the enemy wants your heart and mind. And he'll be very subtle about how he does it because he's an angel of light. And sometimes he comes in sneaky. And he sneakily comes in something that looks, even sounds godly, but it's something that's designed to trap you into a religious practice. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees in all of our lives, in your life. That we don't become religious. We're not religious people. We're godly people. We're righteous people. We stand for what is right. Not because we want to be seen to be right, but because it's right. It's the right thing to do. We do what's right because it's right. Not because we're coerced to do it. Do you catch my meaning? Because we want to be good trees. The planting of the Lord. We want our roots down deep that we're never moved. We're never shaken. We're never concerned. We're never worried. I have a while to go yet. I do get worried. I do get concerned. I do worry over you. I pray for you almost every day. Some of you worry me more than others. Well, I love you all. You're wonderful people. A blessing in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that we would take into our hearts, Lord God, and even filter through our minds and our hearts those things that we've taken in that are not helpful for church growth and that are not helpful for our growth and not helpful that don't build the kingdom, Father. We want your thoughts. We want our ways to be your ways. We want our thoughts to be your thoughts, Lord God. Lead us into all righteousness, Lord God, through the Holy Spirit. Teach us your ways. Help us to bear good fruit, that all of our fruit would be ripe and edible. That everybody that sees Central Life Church would go, man, that is a church doing something for the kingdom of God. Not to exalt us, Lord, but that you might be glorified. That they might say, we know there's a God in heaven because of what's happening there. Father, may you be glorified through us, this body of believers. In Jesus' name, amen.
God. Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.